the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area, along with the sheep and oxen, spilled the coins of the money changers, and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here, and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews asked, "What sign can you show us for your doing this?" Jesus said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews replied, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" Of course, he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. They came to believe the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name because of the signs that they saw him performing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was listening to Michelle read that first reading with the listing of the commandments, I was reminded of the time I was hearing First Confession several years ago. And I had a little boy come in who sat in the chair opposite me, and he just kept squirming back and forth, and he went right down through his sins, and he finished, and I said, "Is that everything?" "Yes, Father." And I just started to talk to him, and he said, "Oh, wait a minute, Father. I think I coveted my neighbor's wife a couple times, too." So. That second reading today, Paul has a statement in there which is particularly poignant for our times. The Jews seek signs, the Greeks seek wisdom, and we present Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and for Greeks. Think about this whole thing. A loving father sends his only son off to be brutally beaten and then murdered in an ignominious way. It can easily become a stumbling block. Several months ago, I was having dinner at the home of some friends. And before dinner, we were having a glass of wine and talking about religion. Their 10-year-old son, who is a neat kid, very polite, was sitting there, and I was watching him. His head was going like he was at a tennis match. He was taking in every single word that we said. And finally, the wife said, "I'm going to go pull dinner on the table." And the husband turned to me and said, "Would you like another glass of wine?" And being a good Catholic, of course, I said yes. So they both left the room. And as soon as they were out of earshot, this very polite little kid said to me, "Do you really believe all those things?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I think it's a fairy tale." This whole thing can be a major stumbling block to our children. What do you and I do about it? Number one, don't ever, ever preach to them. Preaching never accomplishes anything. Instead, teach them. Don't be afraid to talk about what you believe. Don't be afraid to talk about what it means in your life. But don't ever do it in a judgmental way. Don't ever do it that you're imposing guilt on them because they're not practicing the faith at this time. Just teach. And secondly, and most importantly, is the way you live what you believe. Kids can spot a phony a mile away. And if they think we are hypocritical about this, they're gone from here. It's all about the way we love one another, the compassion for one another. How do you talk about the people who are out here on the margins of life? The poor, the people who can only exist on welfare because they can't take care of themselves. The Jews demand signs, the Greeks wisdom, but we present Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews, for Greeks, and for many of our children. Amen.